good to see everyone. And men, this morning, for those of you who are not here, I said this morning that when we first came from Fiji, 2005 November, so this is November 2017, it's 12 years now, up there in Wipa. All the time we thought before we left Fiji that Wipa was an Aboriginal community, till we reached a place and realized it is a mining town. One night I was writing my notes, and there was a word that came between my face and the notes. I thought it's to do something to do with my eyes. I wiped my eyes and I start writing the notes again, and the word still come. And the word was, I didn't call you here just for Wipa, but for the whole Cape, the Western Cape. And I believe God gave me a vision. I said this morning, while I saw that vision, there was also a church here in Cairns was seeing a vision about the Cape. And I'm glad today, the 26th of November, 2017, after 12 years, I'm preaching in that church. And you not helping us, you are our partners in doing the work that God has called us to do and gave us a vision about the Cape. A team came from here, I think, 3 times to Napronum. Yeah. And now we did crusade in Lockhart. Every time I see Pastor Joe, he is always there with us. And we are so blessed. Amen. Every time I see him there, not only I see him, I always see the whole Living Light Church there, partnering with us about the souls of the people in the Cape. Amen? Amen. We change the way we do things. We change. We try this, it works, but not really work. We try another way of doing it. And God is blessing the people up there. We did twice in Lockhart. If you ever heard the name Lockhart, it is a community up there. We did one in Cowan. We did about 6 in Arkun last year. And we did 3 in Napronum. And now we change a little bit. This week we'll be doing it again in Arkun for Friday and Saturday. And I talked to the elders after the team leaves. Me and Pastor Joe will stay there for another week to do teaching in the night, go during the day and pray for families and for people. Amen. I said this morning, you know, when God speaks about the last days in Matthew 24, he speaks about the increases of sin. He spoke about wars and rumors of wars. He spoke about all those things. But none of those things, after he said about it, said the end will come, till he comes to verse 24, I think. Verse 24, it says, this gospel shall be preached, and after that, the end will come. Amen? Amen. This evening, I'll just talk to you about something. Is that okay? Amen? And just open your heart, and I believe, I trust the Lord will speak to you tonight. Before we look at our lesson, let me tell you something. You are not here tonight just because it's a Sunday evening. You have to be in church, no. You're not here tonight just because there was nothing to do at home. Huh? Then you thought, I'll go to the meeting place. No, that's not the, that might be your reason, but that is not the truth. You are not here tonight just because Tonga lost yesterday, and you thought just go to church tomorrow just to give me some peace. A little bit like me today now. There may be other reasons you thought that's why you were here tonight. Oh, I'm a member of the church. I didn't go this morning, so I might as well go in the night. No. The truth about it, that you are here tonight because God brought you here tonight. Amen? Amen. God has something special for you tonight. You are not here by accident. You are here because God brought you here tonight. Amen? And I believe as you go out here tonight, you'll start praising the Lord and say, God, it was good to be in church tonight. Amen? Amen? And there is no other better place to be on Sunday night like in the presence of God. Amen? The Bible tells us where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I always tell the church in Weeper, Jesus is here. And he is not here to be a spectator. He is here to do something for you in your life. He knows everything about you. Amen? If you just open your heart and allow him to come into your heart, he will touch your heart. He will touch your heart tonight. Okay. Let's look at our Bible. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, amen? Reading from verse 1 to verse 8. Mark chapter 11, the triumphal entry. Are you there? I see everybody seems to be looking at the screen. That's my name. And, okay. That's all right, bro. It's all right. That's not my name. That's a word. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, okay, and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden it. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied to at a doorway, and they untied it. Some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered, as Jesus has told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their clothes on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen? Amen. You know, let us pray first. Father God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, touch the hearts of the people that are here. Speak to us, O Lord. Speak to us. Speak to us. It's been a long week. We have a lot of voices, friends, families, relatives. But at this time, for maybe 20, 25 minutes, we want to hear your voice. Because your voice brings peace. Your voice brings joy. Your voice brings satisfaction. Your voice changes lives, changes situations. Speak to us, O Lord, tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, nobody come into this world by accident. Whether right now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your educational background. It doesn't matter your financial background. It doesn't matter what is ever happening in your life. I want to tell you tonight that God has a purpose for your life. Everybody. And God can use anybody. Nobody is too old. And no one is too young to be used by God. One of the worst things, if people died without fulfilling God's purpose in their lives. I believe what brings joy into the life of a person is while you're still alive, you know God's purpose in your life. And not only knowing it, but also doing it. You may not freely reach the end yet, but by just knowing it and start walking into it, it brings joy and satisfaction in your life. If this is the first time you are here tonight, if you've not really been faithful in coming to church, whatever your spiritual situation may be, it doesn't take away one truth, that God has a purpose for your life. God knows you. God has a plan for you. Jeremiah said, before you was conceived in your mother's womb. When I share that scripture in our church, I say, even before your mom and dad had their first date, God already knew you. God already had a purpose for your life. Jeremiah said before he was conceived in your mother's womb. But Paul, as he wrote to the Ephesians church, he said, before the foundation of the earth, God has already chosen you. He knows everything about you. He knows, don't worry, if you ask, has he started preaching? His scripture is about that animal called a colt. If you're waiting for me to preach, I already started 15 minutes, 10 minutes ago. Okay, I'm already preaching here. Amen? God has a purpose for your life. Amen? Like I said, even if you are not a faithful attendant in this church, if you are here for the first time, even if you haven't given your heart to the Lord has a purpose for your life. This is one thing non-Christians still there in the world doesn't know. even those unsaved people, God has a purpose for their lives, because nobody came into this world by accident. It doesn't matter the way he was born. Maybe before your dad and mom got married, he was born. Maybe he was born and dad left mom and a single mom has grown you up. It doesn't matter, people. Whatever it is, God has a purpose for your life. Paul said before the foundation of the earth, in eternity past, God was standing there in his foreknowledge. He knew how many years from eternity past down the line there will be a Fijian boy born in a small village in Fiji, and they will name him Semi. One day he'll become a pastor. Before today happened, God already knew from eternity past. On the 26th of November 2017, he will be preaching in the church called Living Light Church in the heart of Kansas City. God already knew that. And you are sitting here, you are here tonight, not by accident. Let me tell you something. God has a purpose for your life. That only should really make you happy and full of joy, knowing the God who created the heaven and the earth, the God who never changes the same yesterday, today, and forever, the God who knows everything, the God who holds everything together, he has a purpose for my life. He knows everything about you. He knows how many hair are still there and how many already gone. He knows your situation. He knows your family. He knows your education background. He knows your needs. He knows your hurts. He knows your ups. He knows your downs. He knows everything. In spite of everything that he knows about you, your weaknesses, your strength, everything he knows about you, in spite of all that, he still has a purpose for your life. And that purpose is much, much greater than whatever is happening in your life right now. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, God has a purpose for my life. Amen? You remember in John chapter 1? When Philip saw Nathanael, and he said to him, the Messiah is here. Come and see him. When Nathanael came to Jesus, you know what Jesus said? I saw you where you were before Philip called you. I didn't only see you, I saw you where you were standing even before Philip called you. He knows everything about you. Let's look at Psalm 139. See what it says here. See what it says here. He said, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit, you also know when I arise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going in and my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with my ways. Before a word is in my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. See what Jeremiah 1:4 said. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as prophet to the nations. Listen, God has a purpose for you. He formed you. He knew you. He set you apart for a greater purpose than you ever thought. He knows everything about you. And he has a purpose for your life. In our lesson tonight, they came and the Lord said, go to that village. When you reach a village, you'll see a colt tied there. Untie it. Nobody ever ridden that colt. the Bible says, and bring it here. He knows that the colt will be there. He knows the colt is tied to a post. He knows that the colt, nobody ever ridden that colt. He knows all that. If God can know everything about an animal, how much more he knows things about the very person, you and me, that he created with his own hands. God did not create everything with his hands. The only thing that he created with his hands is you and me. Do you know that or not? Every other thing was just created by his words. Let there be light. And there was light. And he saw it. He praised himself. That was good. Before the living light, praise and worshiped him there. Praise and worshiped him. Were there to praise him. Before an Ephesian choir, the best choir in the world, was there to sing praises about God. Before any praise and worship team was there to praise him, God praised himself. He saw it, he said, phew, that was good. You know what he was saying? Look at me, see what I did. Everything else was just created in his word. Only you and me he created with his hands. If he can know everything about an animal, how much more he know everything about you and me? Are you with me? Let me hear some praise, please. Come on, make some noise. So I know people are alive here tonight. Come on. You know, sometimes we thought it's not a good thing to self-praise. But you know what God did? He self-praised himself. And can any committee meet and said, what did he do? He praised himself? No. He just do anything he wants to do. That great God. We're just singing here tonight. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. And that God have a purpose for your life. And he knows everything about you. You see what the psalmist said? He knows my sitting down. He knows my rising up. He knows when I go. He knows when I come back. Even words before they are in my tongues, he already know what I'm going to say. He knows everything. He said to these two, go to the village, you'll see a colt. Nobody ever sat on it. You know, even that animal have a purpose. God's purpose in its life. You know what? Before that animal was born, God already set that animal apart. The animal was already set apart. Nobody will ever sit on it till the day the Son of the Most High God will make a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Then he will sit on that animal. The purpose for that animal, why it came into this world, for the Son of God to sit on it. And he said, nobody ever sat on it. Look here, the purpose that God has for you, you won't be able to use it anywhere, to fulfill it anywhere, because God's purpose for your life will only be fulfilled in God himself. If you try somewhere else, if you try to take it somewhere else, the songwriter said, you will run around in cycle until you meet the Lord. Nobody ever sat on it. I don't know how old that was that animal. Why didn't anybody ever sit on it? You know why didn't anybody ever sit on it? Because God already destined that animal is the Son of God. When he comes and have this entry into Jerusalem, he will sit on that animal. Listen to me. God has a purpose for your life. God has a calling for your life. And God has an anointing for your life. He anointed you for that purpose. You will not be able to fulfill it anywhere else until you bring it to God. Amen. But there was a problem with this animal. The Bible says it was tied to a doorway, tied. One of the greatest problems which make it hard for Christians, for people, to fulfill God's purpose for their life because they are tied to something. This is a good time to sing that song. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. See if there be anything tied me to a post that enable me to fulfill your purpose. Release me and make me free again. It was tied to a post. Just imagine if it was still tied and the disciples come and pull it. You know how it's going to go? Whatever he's tied to is pulling one side, and the wrong God's calling is on the other side. What you gonna do? You gonna let this go and let yourself tied to a post? Or you gonna let that go and follow God to fulfill your God's divine destiny in your life? And you know what the Lord said? Untie it. The Lord knew, I cannot sit on this animal. If it's tied to a post, the Lord knows that. The Lord knows this animal will not be able to fulfill its purpose if it ties to a post. So the first thing you have to do is untie it. Whatever is holding you back, tonight, in Jesus' name, untie yourself from it. There are things that people in the church lifting their hands, praising God, jumping up and down, move around and greet somebody. But the problem is only them, and God knows there is always something that tied yourself to a post. Tonight is your night in Jesus' name. Hey, old relationship. Hey, getting drunk on Saturday and being in church on Sunday. Hey, adultery. Hey, still doing things of the world. You will not be able to fulfill God's purpose because of those things. Tonight, in Jesus' name, untie yourself from it. Ooh, it's getting hot up here. Do you really want God to use you? See, this church, I know the whole members of the church are not here. I know that because I was in church on one Sunday. You people may not realize it. You didn't see me. I was sitting right there at the back, me and my wife. This church was full. And a lot of members in this church are not here. You know what? For us to do the work of the Lord, it's not going to take just those people who use the stage here every Sunday. It is going to take every Tom, Dick, and Harry to untie themselves and everybody to be able to work together to fulfill God's purpose for their lives. Aren't you tired of walking around doing nothing for God? Aren't you tired? I am tired. I was tired with the world, all those wasted years. And I came to Jesus. The most helpful thing I said at the beginning is dying without fulfilling God's purpose in your life. The things that bring joy. Remember, nobody's too old and nobody's too young to be used by God. The thing that brings joy and peace in my life is knowing God's purpose and start working towards it. He said, go, untie it. Untie it. You know what? Whatever is holding you, you may thought that nobody else know. No, you know. And God knows. And God wants you to release from there. And also the devil knows. And the devil wants you to be remain tied to that. What you gonna do tonight? Are you gonna give in to the devil and keep on tying yourself to that? Or are you gonna be with Jesus and say, enough is enough. Tonight is a night. I'm gonna untie this and walk with Jesus and fulfill God's purpose for my life. Amen. And he said, after you untie it, bring it here. Bring it here. By untying yourself to that, it's not enough. That is just part of the process. Bring it here. After you untie it, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and say, Lord, here am I. Please use me in whatever way you have already had in your mind before you. I was formed in my mother's womb. I'm here. I'm here. Whatever an excuse is, there is no excuse in God. Whatever it is, you may be, there may be an excuse, your weaknesses and all that. Isaiah said, you know what, Lord? I cannot do that. I have a problem here. What is the problem, Isaiah? I am a man of unclean lips. Not only that, I always dwell among people with unclean lips. God sends the fire from heaven and touches lips. After he touches lips on us, Isaiah, whom shall I send? Whom shall go for us? Isaiah stood up and said, Lord, here am I. Send me to the nations. In the communion service, in Corinthians, I think, chapter 11, when we talk about communion, you come to a place where it says, examine yourself. That verse doesn't allow you to examine the person sitting next to you. It doesn't allow you to examine anybody else. That scripture only allows you to examine your own self. This evening, while I'm sharing this, it's good for you to examine your own self. Look at yourself. What is God's purpose for my life? Am I just going to come every Sunday and warm the pews, the chairs? Or I really want to fulfill God's purpose for my life? Amen. Look, I already said, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your family background. It doesn't matter your educational background. It doesn't matter your financial background. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is God has a purpose for your life. This is my first time preaching here. I may sometimes say words that are unholy to some people. I use it sometime in a church. You know that cult? Nobody ever sat on the back of that cult, because the back of that cult was specially created for Jesus Bam Bam to sit on it. That's what the purpose of that cult. And the Bible says when they bring it to Jesus, Jesus sat on it. You know what does that mean? The call fulfilled its purpose, why it came into this world. And the people shout, hallelujah to the Son of David, hallelujah to the one who come in the name of the Lord. When you start to fulfill God's purpose in your life, people will see it and they will know it, and they will start praising God for your life. Not because of you, because now you start to fulfill his purpose for your life. Bring it here to me. They went. They untied. And there were people standing there and said, hey, what you doing? Why are you untying that cord? And they said, the Lord said, everybody, you know what? When you start fulfilling God's purpose in your life, there may be people who understand it. Maybe there are people who don't realize it. Maybe there are people who don't know about it, especially unsaved families, unsaved friends, unsaved peers, and all those people. But as you start to fulfill it and start telling people, no, this is God in my life. And when they see it start fulfilling in your life, they will start to give glory and start to praising the Lord. How long have you been coming to church? Is this the first time you are here tonight? You need to give your heart to the Lord. That Sunday back home, our old church is a little bit bigger than this. It can sit, I think, 1,200 people. And we used to have services 6 in the morning and 6 in the evening. 6 services in the morning, 6 services in the evening, because everybody cannot fit in one time into the church. I enter that church the Sunday night. I was sitting right in the back there. My life was hopeless. It was reckless. It was full of troubles. I was expelled from school. Started living in the streets. One day I walk out of the police station. Right in front of the police station back home, there is a telephone booth right to the side of the main road. I came out there, I sit on the ground, and I was leaning against the telephone booth. It was Saturday night. About 10 o'clock in the night, a young boy walked past and said, "How are you?" I say, "I don't know. I don't think I'm good. I'm right." I was drunk. And he said, "What you doing here?" I said, "I want to go home." I want to go home, but I don't know the way home. He said, "Where do you live?" I said, "The place where I live is called Top Line." He waved the taxi, and I said, "You know what? I don't have any money to pay for the taxi." He said, "Don't worry, I'll pay for it." He was dressed up nicely. I jumped in the taxi. He took me home. He said, "Which one is your house?" I said, "This one here." "Can I come around tomorrow and see you?" This was Saturday night. I said, "Yeah, yeah." I don't know whether I really wanted him to come and see me or just want to please him because he helped me. So he went 4 o'clock the next afternoon. Those days back home, you always have double feature in the cinema. You pay for one movie, you watch two. So I was just ready to go and watch a movie. Car came and he jumped. I saw him. I know this is the guy who brought me here last night. He came to me and he said, "Still remember me?" I said, "Yeah. You know, after I dropped you here last night, I went back home. And I thought, that boy need Jesus." "Oh, okay, yeah, you need Jesus." He said, "Can we go together to church tonight? The service starts 7 o'clock. I said, "Look, I'm going to come. I'm just going to go and watch a movie. After the movie, I'm going to come there." He said, No. "We go together now, have a cup of tea in town, then we go to church." I said, "No, I have to go and watch this movie." No. You know, those Christians in those days, I think they force you to go to church. So we went together, have a cup of tea. 7 o'clock, I went to the church. Oh, man, you know, back home, Methodist Church, we all have our roots there. They don't play music in the church. Always quiet. I went into the church, sitting right down at the back, and they play the music. Everybody clapping, dancing, waving. And I thought, man, I'm in the wrong place here. And everybody were doing all sorts of things. When I used to hear about the church, they always tell me, "Don't sit down right on the wall, because there's something going on in the wall of that kind of church. When it shocked you, you go, 'Who can all of us sit there? All them kind of thing." So I thought to go and sit in the middle. But the problem is, as I was sitting in the middle, now I come to know when the presence of God hit the place, the very person was sitting next to me. He goes, "Who can all of us sit there?" And I was sitting there watching him. What is going on here? Then the pastor started to preach. You know when he preached? I thought, this young fellow who invited me to church, I think their morning service tonight, this morning, he might have told the pastor, "This boy, I met him there, this is it, that's it. I'm going to go and bring him to church tonight. This is why this pastor preaching this kind of sermon." I think before 10 minutes he finished the sermon, something hit me. After he preached, he said, "If you want, here, you want to give your heart to the Lord, come to the front." I was the first one to walk to the front that day. I walk up the aisles. Back home, we still have choirs. The choir was just standing on the side like this. I come and stood there. While I was standing there, I could hear one of the sopranos say to another lady, "Hey, this is the boy who always carries suicide box in town." I gave my heart to Jesus that night. I already have made a lot of decisions in my heart, and I regretted it. But one decision I'll never regret. That decision I make that night to give my heart to Jesus. Jesus changed me, and I start walking towards fulfilling God's purpose in my life. What makes me happy today and rejoice always in the presence of God Almighty is knowing God's purpose for my life. If you are here tonight, you haven't given your heart to Jesus, you need to give your heart to Jesus. If you are here tonight, you still don't really know, understand, really understand what is God's purpose for your life. You know what? I really want to pray for you tonight. The most fulfilling thing in your life is knowing God's purpose and start doing it. Let me say it again before I finish praise and worship team. The most important thing in your life is knowing that God has a purpose for my life. And nobody is too old. Nobody is too young to be used by God. Whatever is still tying you down, tonight is the night. Let it go and fully commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand tonight.